Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Who have we got in the studio at the moment then,
mate? We've got Xavier Baker, that famous man who rode all the way across the Atlantic.
Good afternoon, Xavier.
Hello there. Do you prefer Xavier? Sorry?
Do you prefer it to be called Xavier?
Xavier, Xav. I've been called all sorts. So.
Yeah, a bit like my name. I've been called all kinds
of... Fred.
Yeah. Successfully rowed across the Atlantic and...
Not all by himself.
No, there was the two others in the boat. It was... we were there when you were talking about the boat at Northwood House, and it had the Vectis Radio logo on the back.
That's right.
I'm not sure if it lasted the whole of the journey.
It may have done.
It's still there. Still there. Yeah.
And... You rode from, where was it from?
Algemeira.
La Gomera in the Canary Islands, 3,000 miles across the Atlantic to Antigua.
So we'll talk about it in more detail, but you were saying earlier on that you had this little map, anyone could look at the map, and it looked like there was like massive boats were all next to each other on the map, but clearly there was hundreds of miles between. You couldn't see any of the other boats, could you?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, people say, oh, did you see each other? I was like, no, not at all. And it was I apologise as well for to Manny. His voice has gone, otherwise he would have been here. And Paul, he's a firefighter and he's on duty.
He's on call.
So otherwise the gents would be here.
I'm sure you can cover for them. You got to know for them very well over those weeks. We'll be talking about that after the break, and you've got some of your rations there, haven't you?
Yes, some of our dehydrated food that we survived on for 44 days, and that was pretty...
Did you have any treats?
We did have treats, yeah. We had.
What treats did you have?
Manny kept pulling out Terry's chocolate oranges out of a locker hidden somewhere.
So
in the evening time, when everybody's a bit tired, and that was a real delight.
And you had your island coffee as well, didn't you?
Island coffee provided by Dan at Island Roasted. So every morning, we'd have a coffee.
Yeah.
Not long after sunrise or at sunrise. And we'd have one coffee a day, just because of the hassle of getting the jet boiler fired up and the boat moving and things.
Yeah.
So, but that coffee was just...
You think the boat
divine.
Would have kept still for you, wouldn't you, for that coffee?
Even more so that when the dagger board was snapped off. Boat was rolling sort of probably three times the amount of what it would normally.
Dear.
So, yeah.
So we'll talk about a little bit more of that.
We will.
How you got the water and all the rest of it to make your coffee.
Yes.
After we've heard from Alicia Keys, a little bit of a break and some share, and we're back with a lot more detail about how to cross the Atlantic in a rowing boat.
Yes.
Well, we've still got Xavier in the studio.
We have.
We just need to get you slightly more in front of that microphone.
Sorry,
Xavier.
Yep.
Now, let's talk about those rations. What have you got there from where you rowed across the Atlantic?
So I've got chicken tikka with rice, 1,000 calories, and I've got salmon and broccoli pasta. I can't remember how many calories this is. I think it's about 500 calories.
All right.
This is what the food that we were eating. Yeah.
So how many calories did you have to have a day, roughly?
We had to have 5,000. Manny and I were 5,000 calories a day, and Paul was 5,200 calories a day.
Was that because of your build, is it?
Yeah, build, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
These foods made specifically for cross Atlantic rowers or for other purposes as well?
It made for all sorts, for mountaineering, adventures, off-road, all sorts, really.
Okay.
So I think, for a weekend or your day, not too bad, but for 44 days,
How did you get the water for them? That's the thing that we need to know.
Yeah, so we had a water maker on board, and fortunately that worked like a dream for us. You hear with other rowing boats and rowers and even sailing boats that the water maker breaks down or things. We had a lot of spares, but it worked perfect. So we would be using towards 10 litres a day.
So
trying to get 5 litres for drinking, and the rest would be for washing, cleaning, and cooking food.
So how does it work? Is it powered, or is it a filter?
On the boat, you've got two solar panels, one on the forward cabin, one on the rear cabin, and two lithium batteries. So you're relying on solar power to charge batteries to then fire the water maker up.
So how many litres did you have to drink a day,
We'd aim towards 5 litres.
Each?
Yeah.
Okay. And you'd sweat most of that out, I suspect.
This is it. Yeah, you don't realise how much you are sweating, because in the day when the sun's beaming down, it's hot, really hot. You are sweating.
I was going to say, it's summer. The period is summer down where you were, isn't it? And so it's pretty hot even in the middle of the ocean.
Well, you're close towards the equator down there. You've got equal hours of night time and daytime.
Yeah.
It is hot. It is hot. But everybody said, yeah, it's going to be hot. And but actually, there was times where it was cold at night when the weather was in. It did get cold at night, so we had woolly hats, thermals on.
So how much sleep did you actually get in a day, an average day?
It would depend. I was fortunate. I managed to sleep, no problem whatsoever.
Well, you can sleep on a washing line, can you?
Absolutely. As soon as I shut my eyes, I'm gone. So we do, so like a shift pattern in the evening starting about 8 o'clock. So you do an hour and a half rowing, then you'd have an hour and a half on watch on deck where you could sleep, but if anything went wrong, broken, you'd be first point of call. And then hour and a half down below, well, no, not really down below, in the forward cabin, and trying to get your head down there. Manny and Paul did struggle trying to get to sleep. I think Manny had 2 days where he just didn't sleep at all, just couldn't get to sleep. So, but yeah, about 6 hours sleep thereabouts.
Yeah, but you mean you survived it, and you all looked quite well at the end of it.
We did. It was tough. Mother Nature was pretty brutal to us. Every so often, you get on the trade winds, they'll blow you across. They say this year was the worst year for unpredictable weather.
So they saw you coming.
They did. So Mother Nature threw all sorts at us, and we think it couldn't get any worse. There'd be something else thrown at you. So as a team, the three of us, the dynamic between all of us worked really well.
That was always going to be a danger, wasn't it? That you might fall out, or because close confined quarters for that length of time.
Yeah. So we had two objectives: one was to get across safely, and to not fall out with each other and remain friends.
Yeah.
And
you've been friends for some years, haven't you?
Yeah, very much. We've all known each other from kids, school, families, surfing, and all sorts. And it's fair to say we our bonds are even stronger. And good. As a team, we worked really well.
Good.
Now, we were saying off air, but we'll repeat it now. The end of it was all a bit of a blur, wasn't it?
It was. So the last 48 hours, the trade winds did finally come in, the easterlies.
And you thought,
here we go. It would just blow us in. Happy days. But it was gusting 30 knots, reckoning up to 5 metre swell. And then waves coming in from both sides, beating you all over the place. It was pretty brutal. And then when we finally saw, Manny saw Antigua first, about an hour before sunset.
Land ahoy!
It was, and that was a majorly emotional moment. The three of us stood up, bit of a tear, had a hug, and like, wow, that's it.
We've sort of there. Over, and, you got back in.
Yeah. and then it was a case of it went dark, and then you could see the lights coming up on Antigua, the island getting bigger as you got closer. And then going round to English Harbour, Paul said, right, guys, the media boat was coming out to us. And Paul said, right, this is it. It's all life's going to go splat now. It's going to hit you. The safety boat came out, there's spotlight and tannoy and shouting at us, hey, congratulations, well done, do this, go here. The big hero screaming. And it's our family up on the fort, which was majorly emotional again. So we all burst into tears at that point. And then all the super yachts were sounding horns, the restaurants on the dockside playing music and clapping. So it was
quite. You say all the super yachts. How many were there?
I don't know. There were a good few in there, and it was great. They were all, it was really overwhelming. From being at sea for just over 43 days, just the three of us, peace and quiet and everything else, and then all of a sudden, lights,
all
noise,
loose,
people. It was quite a shock. It really was,
And stepping onto land?
That was bizarre. That was, I thought we were on a pontoon, so everything was still moving, and they said, no, you're on land now. And all of us just...
You were a bit wobbly.
Completely, really wobbly.
Yeah.
And that took a couple of days for that sort of to get your land legs back. You keep walking into things and stumbling and falling over. That was quite mad.
It wasn't the drink then?
No, not at that point.
You were compensating for things that weren't actually moving.
Interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Now life is back to normal-ish. Has it sunk in yet?
It has. I thought it'd be as... come back, happy days, guns blazing, no worries. But actually the first week back, it's all a bit overwhelming, just everyday life and things. So the guys at work saying it looks a bit dazed, like what's going on. So but we're actually settled back in now. Manny and Paul went pretty well straight back to work. Manny's got a lot of planning to do for the season ahead for him, so that we're all settled back in.
That's good.
We've caught up with each other once, which we need to catch up again soon, which was great last week. Just sort of how you're getting on, checking on each other. So
can you tell us again why you did it, what you're raising money for?
Yes, super, thank you, Maggie. So for three charities all around marine conservation and preservation.
Right.
The Seahorse Trust, based down in Poole Harbour.
Yep.
And that's looking after the seahorses, yep, and their breeding ground and habitat, the seagrass meadow off, yep, off Poole Harbour there. And a lot of research on the seahorses and preserving that. Hampshire Wildlife Trust, yep, on their seagrass restoration projects in the Solent,
yep,
which do a lot of monitoring, harvesting the seeds, growing the seeds, and then planting them back out.
Yep.
So hugely vital to protect the seagrass meadows as a, yes, whole, but certainly on our, yep, on our home turf.
Yes.
They're a vital CO2 sink, and also a vital breeding ground for all the seafood and...
And
bass, crabs,
you raised significant amounts of money for them.
We did also Surface Against Sewage as well. That's the, one, the third, yeah. So they're very much an active body who give the government a hard time and try and make them be accountable for their, yes, actions, okay, on allowing the water companies just to drop raw effluent into our waterways,
yeah,
and sea and rivers, which is just unacceptable. So,
so did you raise what you think you'd raise?
Honestly, I'm not actually sure what the total is. We're still, there's still money coming in, which, yes, is absolutely great. So I think it was around 17,000.
Wow.
But which, with, and so much support has come in financially or towards, yeah, the charities. But also a major thank you to everybody for the messages they sent, yourselves, for supporting us. It was so great to sort of have the island behind us and, yeah, here at sea when we, you know, the times were really tough. The messages from the island, and we did, well, they were satellite problems, when their messages came in, reading those when it was horrendous out there was just a major sort of morale booster.
You can do,
so,
it,
yeah,
keep
it was
going.
It made such a difference, so, yeah, it was great. So,
question which you may not be able to answer, would you do it again?
No.
Once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah, I'd be up for sailing it. Paul, yeah, I think he's ex Royal Navy. Missed his little ones,
yes,
majorly, and with the boat moving and things, it was pretty full on.
Yeah.
And I think Manny, there might be something for him on the horizon. So
we shall see.
So
it's a fair enough question because you've done it. It might be something you wanted to do again. It may not.
Yeah, there's plenty of people that do it again.
So what happens to the boat now?
So the mermaid, she is on her way back. So she's on the ocean at the moment, yep, in a container.
Yeah.
She'll be back with us first week in March, and she'll be at the Isle of Wight Distillery. So she'll be the
mermaid.
She's going to stay there?
So she'll be there where she was for a good while. So we've got some work to do for her and give her a proper clean and TLC and once
so
over.
So will she stay with you?
She will be, yeah. She will be. And we've got to get the dagger board fixed, which...
We'll come and have a look.
We will.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please do. Yeah. Come and climb aboard.
Excellent. Well, I don't know about that. It might move.
Well done, Xavier, and well done to your teammates as well.
Thank you.
And
thank you
so I know much. We're going to see you on the telly soon. Nothing to do with the Rowing the Atlantic.
No.
We're going to see you on the telly very soon on that programme.
yes, that programme, yeah.
Well, Chris was on it last week, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And you're. I think it's this week, but we'll find out
later on. I think this Thursday, yeah.
So. Indeed. And... well done, good luck, and glad you did it and you got back in one piece.
Thank you. Thank you for your support. Well, thank you.
No problem at all.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing @vectisradio.fm.